I'm John. Here's my friend Johnny.
Hey.
It's another episode of Talk About That, an award-winning podcast.
We haven't won awards for this podcast. We're getting more and more listeners by the day, though.
I will say, we set the record in March, and we are on pace to blow that out of the water right now. Where we were. So, man, people are listening, Johnny.
But it's our own record. We sank our own battleship.
Right,
we're going to blow ourselves out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah, we're competing against ourselves.
That's how it should be. It's like the golf course. You're not competing against the other golfers.
Right, unless you're
unless you have dinner on the line.
Right.
Then you're competing.
Or you're at the Masters, and then you're literally competing against other golfers.
Tiger had an okay round on Thursday.
Do you think Tiger's ever going to be Tiger again? I mean, he's hitting the ball a little bit like Tiger again.
No, I think part of what made Tiger great was the fear that he struck in the hearts, and I think that fear's gone because he went 10 years without winning. Yeah. So the young guys are like, oh, man, I remember when Tiger was, you know what I'm saying? It'd be like boxing against Muhammad Ali, but you know that, like, he can be hurt now.
Right, right. You know, Sadie, oddly enough, we were sitting in a restaurant or something, and golf was on, and she goes, Daddy, who was the greatest golfer in the world?
Right.
And she asked me questions.
Sure.
You know? And I said, well, it's Jack Nicklaus. I mean, because he was standing right there. You know, she goes, was not Tiger Woods?
He was standing there with you and Sadie?
Like, Tiger...
Wait, I don't understand this story
at all. Jack Nicklaus was with us at lunch, and I had to say it.
Yeah, he was there.
It would be so offensive.
It would be rude if you said that. I liked Ernie Els. He's like, excuse me?
No, he was on the screen.
Yeah.
Like, he was on the
right. But you don't have to say his name just because he's on the screen.
No, but that's who I would have answered.
Oh, really?
He won
the most majors.
I would have said Tiger Woods, but
right.
how do you quantify a guy who hasn't won in 10 years? And so she asked me the question, like, my kid's fairly, I guess, observant. She's like, what about Tiger Woods? And I was like, well, you know, he got injured is how I said.
You didn't go into the whole cheating and all everything.
Because who knows? Like, if
I mean, who knows? It happened.
Not who knows if it happened.
Yeah.
Who knows how that affected his golf game?
Right.
But that's speculation.
He seemed to do better when it was a secret. That's kind of a whole psychology thing.
Right. That's everybody thinks.
When he was leading the double life, and then when it was all exposed, and he was kind of like, he was just out there for everybody to question him.
See, I don't feel qualified to speak to the psychiatry of the situation.
Because you've not had multiple affairs.
Well, that's not the only reason. I'm also not a qualified psychiatrist.
Or a qualified golfer.
I don't actually, either one.
You're not qualified in any way.
I don't know the guy. I haven't
right.
actually talked to him. It's funny what we try to pick up from, like, television.
That's true.
You know.
Well, we do know that, just from playing golf, you do know that it's one of those games that's not just physical. It's mental. It's a very mental game.
It gets in your head.
So, yeah, if you have, golf's the only sport where you can get the yips. It's literally, you have a problem with your swing that it's in your head.
Right.
You don't hear that. You don't. Now, some people get it on the free throw line, I guess, in basketball. They get the yips.
I mean, every sport, people have slumps.
Yeah, there's mental breakthrough. There's a guy right now, you know, that's broken the record for most at-bats without a hit. It keeps going on. I can't remember his name. Chris something?
And he's still playing professional baseball.
He has a contract, and so it's almost this point, like the team is putting him out there to torture him because he's stealing money from their team, and baseball contracts are guaranteed. So he's gone, I want to say it's like, at this point, it's 68 or 69 at-bats without a hit.
Wow.
It's a record. He broke the record this week. And
wow.
So that guy's just being, I mean, you got to know, that's crazy. You know?
Well, but he could break through any moment and be the greatest of all time.
Well.
You see, that's the optimist in
me. He was when he got the deal. That's the thing about baseball deals, though. You know, they just broke the record twice. And then, like, a week later, the guy got a bigger deal. It's like, and these deals go into their late 40s because the money doesn't. Like, all they're wanting is, like, 5 good years from these people, and they're paying them hundreds of millions of dollars to get it. It's really interesting.
I just still find it hard to believe sometimes that the organization is making that much money off of baseball. It must be in the TV contracts and stuff.
Yeah, it's TV, and people still do go to the parks, but not, I don't know.
I mean, there's a game every night.
Yeah, that's part of it.
So how many games are there?
162?
Johnny, 162.
That's my favorite thing about baseball is you can be like, yeah, the Twins have lost 20 in a row. They still lead their division. Like, you can go. You can't lose 3 football games in a row.
Exactly.
You'll
you
be out of playoffs.
You can't lose one. You're not going to make the playoffs unless you're Alabama.
Well, no, I meant the pros. But, yeah, you were going college because it's your heart. It's where your heart is.
My heart is there.
Yeah. And it should be, John. So tell us about your big award. That's what you were trying to lead into, and I didn't let you when you said award winning.
No, Johnny,
I want to know the story.
I don't want to talk about it.
What's it called again?
Ippy. So I got an email this morning. I called you earlier today.
That's when you know it's official. When they don't even call you, they send you an email.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You've won.
Absolutely. So, the ultimate
guide. Is this a Nigerian person that sent you this?
All they need from me
is your PIN number.
$2,000. And, no, we had entered some
Oh, okay,
book
with your book. This is for...
Ultimate Guide for the Avid Endorsement.
That's right, the endorsement book.
Yeah. And so one of the contests is called the Independent Publishers Awards.
That should just be IPA.
Yeah, and they call it the IPPY, I suppose. The IPPY. IPPY. I keep trying to
remember. Well, IPA is like, it's a beer, isn't it? And an IPA, like
IPA.
A beer.
They don't call it an IPA, but yes.
No, but isn't it? But I'm saying they couldn't be the IPA awards because it sounds like you're awarding like the best craft beer. What does IPA stand for?
Indian Pale Ale.
Indian?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah, Indian.
I thought it was international or something.
Yeah.
Imported. I thought it was imported.
You know, this makes me happy that I knew
It's Indian and not imported?
That's correct. And IPA is an Indian Pale Ale, yeah, I think. So we get to look that up.
I don't know.
This is not that, though. The IPPYs are the Independent Publishers Award. So it's, you don't have to be an independent book. So this is with a publisher, but everybody can submit to it.
Right.
So, yeah, they won. So there's all those categories.
Yeah.
So in the endorsement book, won silver. In the humor category.
Second place.
Yeah.
So you think you're better than me because I won third place with my comedy special. International Christian Video Media, ICVM Awards is what I won. The gold bronze.
Isn't there a beer called ICVM?
The bronze. There is. The bronze. I won the bronze crown award.
You did.
And so that means I will not be rewarded in heaven.
I don't think.
If you get rewarded on earth.
I don't think. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's exactly. We've had a reward now.
Yeah, that's what.
That's it.
Yeah.
I should have held out.
But yours is silver. You're one better than me.
It's only, listen, I don't think I'm better than you. If I was better, it'd be one better.
Wait a minute, though. What if it's a Carl Lewis situation? You remember the 88 Olympics, right? Ben Johnson wins gold, sets the record in the 100, tested positive for steroids.
Oh.
Carl Lewis got one of his golds that way.
So,
although Carl Lewis probably used steroids too, like a ton of those people use steroids.
Wouldn't it be a crazy turn of events
if he was using like performance enhancing for a writer?
What if we found out that I was using something though?
We talked about Aaron Sorkin. He used cocaine every day when he wrote his movies.
I was juicing. I know for a pastor, you've always called it CGH,
church growth hormone.
Church growth hormone.
What would you use? It would be caffeine, right? Because you're a big coffee guy. You know, I don't drink coffee. People always ask that. Do you drink coffee? And they think that.
I know you should. I always try to get
maybe
you
I'd be
to
more
that.
Productive.
Maybe that's
more
the problem.
Prolific.
You would have won silver if you would have had coffee. You know, the truth is
that. I noticed you didn't say gold. You don't believe that I could have got gold?
Well, you have a lot of coffee to win gold. It may have taken some other substance to jump that out. You know, the funny thing is there was a book one time that I wrote that I was on something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is fascinating for her. Okay.
I know, guys.
Are you getting made real, like a horrible?
So in...
You're being so vulnerable
like,
right
this
now.
This is, I felt like this was time to tell. Yeah. It's a true story. It's like December of 2000, I don't know, 13 maybe 14.
Yeah. Those were the drug years.
They were. What was the drug month? I came down with pneumonia.
Okay.
So I had like actual pneumonia. I was just thinking I just couldn't shake. And they finally was like, oh, yeah.
But not like in the hospital pneumonia, like... Walking.
I suppose I kept walking. I don't know if that defines it or not.
Isn't that how they determine walking pneumonia versus hospital pneumonia? It's just like you don't go to the hospital.
I guess. Yeah.
But what
I mean,
if you should have gone to the hospital, but you didn't?
Well, you know, like pneumonia, often someone who's elderly or a little kid, someone who's already kind of compromised in some way. Like, you know, I just had pneumonia. Like I just had this really bad cold that settled in my lungs, so I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah.
And so I started sleeping in the other bedroom for like 2-3 weeks because
Laura banished you.
I was gonna no, it was my choice.
Don't give me pneumonia.
I slept better if I'm not. Even that tickle in your throat in the middle of the night, and you're trying not to wake up your spouse. So you're
but
sitting
she's
there like
a light sleeper. Like, you've told me this that Laura's a light sleeper.
Oh, she's a light sleeper.
So like one big cough or something, she's up.
Like you hit the silent night switch. You hit the light switch. We call it a night switch.
That sounds like a weird like supervillain. I am Night Switch.
So yeah, but she wakes up. So I didn't want to wake her up because that keeps me awake trying not to wake her up. It's like this vicious cycle. So I was in the spare bedroom and the doctor's like, "Hey, you have to sleep." So he put me on like I don't know what it was, hydrocodone or something with codeine in it, or like a cough syrup with codeine or something. You know?
Okay.
But he also put me on steroids.
Yeah.
Which kind of like wakes you up and tries to knock you out, wake you up. You know, I was just in there and So half the night I couldn't sleep. Well, guess what book project was due right then? the Tim Hawkins Diary of a Jackwagon.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like something that's like a famous book. I didn't know. Like, you wrote the Da Vinci Code. Maybe you've heard of it. The Book of Jude. I wrote the Bible.
And so,
be weird.
Like, it was such a random, weird book anyway, you know? Yeah. So I had all of his research, with all of our stuff, and he was ready for me to start, you know, taking his stuff. That's been collaborating. It's his stuff and working it, you know, back into.
Does Tim know this that you wrote his book stoned?
I told him. I mean, I wasn't stoned.
No,
I
was were stoned.
So, but I had this energy because of the steroids, and I was a little off of my, like, normal mental game because of the medicine to sleep. So I'd stay up to like 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just like.
Sweating and writing.
Just writing these crazy things. I wrote that book in 5 weeks, and most of it in the spare bedroom.
And you could lift a car right above your head.
It was crazy. I was like, well, you know, so. But I don't normally take medication.
So it didn't become a pattern for you, like, if I need to get this book out, I got to get some.
No.
You're going like 3 and 4 pharmacists.
I hate not sleeping.
Your name's on a list.
I hate feeling shaky, you know, those kinds of things. I don't want to do that. I don't like it.
I hate that you can't get Sudafed anymore without, like, they put your name on a clipboard and it's all a weird thing and they're behind the glass. And
I don't think I'm smart enough to go do something nefarious with Sudafed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would.
Dude, when you. A friend of mine knew, like, we talked about, like, their boyfriend made meth or something, and there's crazy stuff in meth. I don't know how anybody could smoke it. It's got Drano in it.
I just.
You're putting Drano in your body? No wonder your teeth fall out.
Yeah. I mean, I would, like, again, I eat fatty foods. You know what I'm saying? But
right. But your teeth are good.
Yeah.
For the most part.
No, I mean, they're. They haven't fallen out yet. So anyway, yes, listen.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, the thing is, I get a real medal.
See, that hurts my feelings because you know what the Bronze Crown Award got me?
A bronze crown.
No. Oh. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Like, this Christian organization. FedEx shows up at your house. Crown.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, my God. This is great. Because
to go ahead and forward this straight to heaven?
Yeah, because you're not supposed to wear the crown. Right. You're supposed to throw it at his feet.
There you go. Well, I guess you can wear it here till you get there, but that'd be weird.
That'd be something, wouldn't
it? Go on stage. You guys don't know if you know. I'm the bronze crown award winner.
You die on stage. They have to take the crown off quickly. Lest you take it to heaven. Yeah. I think it's so cool that you could, because I got a piece of paper. Mm. You know those certificates like you'd make up for like your end of the year, like your end of summer camp program?
Yeah.
Like, you know, best teammate or whatever. Kickball champions. That's what that paper looked like that.
And improved heatherball player.
Yes, it looked like that, except they printed on it, you know, whatever, live at the Franklin Theater. Yeah. And it's still cool, and I'm going to hang it in my house, but the frame was like a $3, like, Target frame.
Yeah.
Not even the nice wood one, it's like a plastic.
Go buy another frame.
I should.
Is it hanging up somewhere?
No. I mean, it's in my office, but it's just sitting on the table.
On the table. Is it pretentious if I were to get something? Because I think it may come
That's the reason I don't hang stuff up.
I don't
up.
Know. I feel really
I'm
weird.
I'm scared to make a shrine to myself in my home because I've seen other people do that.
Yeah.
And like, on the other hand, it's so weird. I'm the same way with social media. Like, if I don't tell you where I'm going to be on social media because I'm trying to like be humble and I'm like, I did a show with Tim this weekend and it was 4,200 people came. Well, they're not coming from me. And there really were tickets available too.
Yeah.
Still, because it sold 4,500 seats, but we're trying to sell it out. So it's like that night. And I thought, I'm posting a picture of this. It's a cool venue. But I immediately felt weird about it. Like, do people think that I'm saying, because I know they didn't come for me. Like, I'm a throw in guy and I do my job well and it's fine. And I like my comedy, but I'm not like saying, look what I did, world. But if you don't do that, then your fans never connect with you. Like, there are people that respond to that and they were like, I didn't know you were even in Arizona. That's so cool. Good for you. And they just want to know what your life is, what's happening. So I say, hang your thing up because look, people come to your house. They need to know you're a big shot.
See, that's what I'm not. Like,
no, you're not.
Like,
I'm just kidding.
You know who's going to care about that medal? Sadie. She loves medals. She's 10. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you should give it to her and be like, hey, little girl. You know, like Mean Joe Green gives the jersey.
She's like, Daddy, why am I not gold? You know, and it's like, true. I explain.
You're like, silver is the best. Like, you could raise her to believe.
If you watch those commercials about investing silver for the future, you know. You know, like I have my diplomas in here. My wife had those made for me as a gift.
Right.
She had them, you know, I think they sat in a box. I don't know how long. They sat in a box for a long time. And then I have a picture of Neyland Stadium that my mother-in-law gave me behind.
Right. Love it.
And then I have a whiteboard with a bunch of community groups and a bunch of brainstorming over here to this side. And then over here is Captain William Driver's photos that Andrew and Jeffrey made for me in a frame.
That it turned out you weren't really related to.
We don't know that.
We know that it's probably not.
We don't. Hey, the dream is still alive. It's still a really cool story either way. But so I don't know if it comes. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it feels like a hang worthy.
You got to make room. You'd have to take something down.
I don't think that's going to happen. I can't imagine something here.
What's it going to be? Here's the thumbs up about me. Maybe you don't even know this. I don't hang a lot of stuff on my walls, and I never have. And I have a weird feeling like, I've told you this before, but if I go to a therapist, I'll probably spend the whole hour like telling him what my deal is.
Right.
Like I already know all my issues.
Right. Giving yourself therapy in front of him.
And then he'd be like, that'd be $85. Right. Thanks, I guess. I'll see you next week. Or like he would not, I know the action steps. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I know what's wrong with me. And I lost brothers. I lost my brother. I lost a brother to a lightning strike before I was even born. So I never knew one of my brothers.
Yeah.
He died of a lightning strike. And then I had another brother who died when I was 26 and he was 30. And my mother died when I was 28 and 29. My dad died when I was. So I have this very like risk mitigation thing that I do in my life. And so I know this. And I think that's why I don't hang up photos in my house. But because I always want to be like ready to move.
Wow.
But I mean, I don't know that that's it. But if I was a therapist, I'd be like, look, this is your deal.
Wow, that is good.
You know what I'm saying?
I kind of want us to unpack
that. Does it make me feel more interesting to you? Or do you just go, geez, just hang up photos, weirdo?
No.
Like I unpacked everything else. Like I moved in.
I meant metaphorically unpack what it is you're saying.
Right. Not physically, you want to help me unpack. Get into these boxes. No, but like, I don't know. I think it's true of a lot of things. Like, I you know this about my career. I constantly think that it's going to end.
Yeah.
You know, that I'll be found out or whatever.
Yeah.
That I'm a phony or a sham or whatever. Or it's in a, and it's not like, well, we've had a good run. This is,
right.
It's
not like, you're not grateful for what you
had. No. I feel dread about it.
Yeah.
And I'll be upset when it happens.
Yeah.
But and so it's not a good thing, but I'm saying I think that's why I have some photos that we hung up, but I'm telling you, I have a stack on my table of framed things that we just have never hung up. And Curry's the same way. She doesn't care enough to do it. She's probably doesn't have the same issues.
So are you not hanging it more because of the pain of loss of people who are in the photos, the potential
for
that,
it's not
or
that,
is it because of the pain of the potential loss of the home where they're hanging?
Maybe it's like
the livelihood.
If I get moved in, then it's like I'm all in, and if I lose the house, you know what I'm saying?
It makes you feel like you're actually there, even though you're actually there, but when you hang the photos, it's like it's now real.
Yeah, and I'll have to take all these down when we miss two house payments and they foreclose on us or whatever, you know? Whereas if it's like, you know, it's like somebody said this the other day, you have to, when you do a backflip, you have to go all in or you land on your face. Like you can't just halfway do a backflip. And I think part of me is kind of half doing a backflip, you know? Anyway, this has been our time.
No, that'll be $85. No, I mean, so a couple of things you said. One, you know, I really believed that I understood all of my issues.
Yeah.
You said that in the get-go.
Is this where we're going to get into the Enneagram? Are you
not trying
here?
To.
Oh, man.
No, no. Yeah. Well, again, and even that is funny.
Can I hang that on my wall once we get like a certification?
Sure. No, this is not really about Enneagram. This is long before the Enneagram.
Right.
But like there was part of that was because I have been a counselor for so long.
Yeah.
You know, with people. And to be quite honest with you, you are too. Like people say things to you, you know, they do. They want to open up and wherever you are, that just, this stuff comes out. People tell you deeper things. I've been with you many times and I'm one of them. Then they tell other people because there's something about that with you. Probably has to do with your Enneagram number. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But this, like, I think because I'd done that so long, like I really did believe there was an ability, to see myself. And what was the example someone used the other day that I heard? There literally are just things about, like, if your car, if the bumper's hanging in the back while you're driving and everybody's driving up beside you honking and pointing, you have no clue what it is.
Right.
Like, you cannot see while you're navigating your own vehicle, the problem with your own vehicle.
Yeah.
You cannot see it as long as it's in motion.
Yeah.
Which I think is why contemplation and counseling with one another and having those talks, I have to be able to get out of my vehicle in order to see around it what all the things are that I assume are fine, because I can't feel them, I can't see them, they're not in any of my mirrors. So I mean, like that first thing to say, you know, to say I don't think I do know all of my problems. I think I've yet to get to, and I'm not sure I'm meant to, but that used to feel like failure to me. Like I was conceding, oh, well, you know, it almost was like I can't be effective at helping others if I can't see all the things of myself. And that's a myth. I think that's why we need people. I think someone has to be able to say, hey, bro, you know, there's that thing. You are way more attuned to what's going on in your own life than most people, I would say.
Well, part of that stand up, it's because it's all
right.
It's all you're mining your past and your present for material. And so it makes you painfully self-aware. And if you're doing a show and you're good at what you do, you need to be painfully aware of everyone's response around you.
Yep.
Okay, I did two or three of these jokes in a row. They didn't like that. Let's abort mission, go over here. Oh, they liked this. Let's do more. And you can change gears in the middle. So so there are comics who I know who don't even know what's funny about them.
Wow.
And they'll only go so far because they don't know how to mine it.
Yeah.
They just go, well, they laughed, and they don't understand that, like, oh, yeah, but the funniest thing about you is this. So I believe that, but I also do believe that I do have blind spots. So I know that about myself, too. Yeah, there's for sure. And maybe that's what it is. If I'm going to your analogy of the car, I keep the car in motion.
Right.
Because that way I feel like, because if I ever stopped to take a walk around the car to see what was wrong, it's like I'd rather not know.
Oh, yeah. That's what we do with the doctor or with the dentist. Yeah.
Guys are the worst. It's why women, people always say, men, you know, women outlive men. Well, one of the main reasons is look at your medical history and look at Laura's medical history.
Yep.
Is she sicker than you? Probably not. But she's way more willing to go to the doctor than you.
Yep.
And women, as a rule, are. They're just like, this is a weird pain. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm like, no, you wait till the elbow throbs.
Right. You wait till something is seriously wrong. Seriously wrong. You know, I think that becoming comfortable with blind spots, like I know I long for people more than I used to. You know, that idea of in motion, you know, there's a book I've been reading about that, and we've referenced it a few times, but this idea that even the pace of modern culture is built for that.
Yeah.
It's built with technology. It's built with social media. It's built with even interpersonal relationships now. To just do the next thing, just keep going to the next thing, and you look up and look behind you, and there was a life, you know. Like, but you know, you don't really get to be, if you're too introspective in the middle of it. Then you, when we are introspective, what happens? We dive bomb. It's such a foreign concept to us. We dive bomb because we don't have a healthy understanding of introspection. We certainly don't have it in a community that could be trusted. So. If I go to, and I can go low so fast, like, oh man, all is lost. Nothing's right. I can't do this. Can't do that. And I don't want to sit there long. So it's easy to avoid it.
Uh-huh.
I think there are just some things in life that I have to sit in it. Like I have to sit in it. There's no other way out of this.
Right.
I need to be here. I need to feel whatever this disappointment is, grieving is a great example of that. Like people, healthy concepts are in whether it's psychologically, or spiritually, or biblically. There was this thing. In fact, I told you that pastor up north is writing just released a book about lamenting.
Yeah, right.
And lamenting in the Psalms, and it was Tyler Trent's pastor. You know, and so when I was at his memorial service, I mean, they were talking about what the healing is. And he's writing a book on race relations, lamenting as a healing point for race relations. Because and we're talking about believers, if you know, there's just as much racial tension there, sometimes it's not acknowledged, which is worse. You know, we're supposed to be acknowledging and living in this unified body of Christ. And so he's saying, look, you know, one of the ways scripturally this could happen is instead of all of us come together and high-fiving and acting like, you know, well, let's just throw away the past. I'll apologize and you apologize and we'll just go on, you know. Like, what if we came together and we sat in it and we felt it together?
Yeah.
We're trying not to feel it. What if we felt it? What would God do in us in healing if we didn't avoid the lows of it, but we got out and looked at the ugly truth?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, obviously, I've had a lot of loss, and so, and then I've had a ton of amazing things that have happened in my life too. But I just, you know, I have a real aversion to like hospitals and stuff, and you know, Curry's dad went into open heart surgery yesterday morning. And so he's been out of surgery now for, you know, almost 24 hours now. And that was kind of, there was a weird moment today. We were driving back home because Curry had to go to work. This was in Knoxville. So we had to come back to Nashville for Curry to go to work. And we were going to come back and see him later. He's in the hospital for the next 5 days. But he was losing some blood, and they were right on the verge of, like, if he loses this many cc's more blood, that's when we go back in.
Wow.
Because that means something might be wrong with the, he had one bypass, and he had a new valve put in, which they use a cow valve. Can you believe that?
I know.
They used to use pigs, and now they use cows. And I asked the doctor, why do they use cows? He said, we use pigs for a long time. But then people were out rooting around in their yard. That's what he said. He made a joke.
Did he really?
Made a little joke.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I see. You're trying to lighten it. Stop it. Don't do that.
He had no idea he was talking to a comedian. That's what's...
No, it's just, I get why he does it. It's funny. I don't know why. Maybe it's more analogous to human tissue, cow.
I don't know.
The heart. But it took two valves, by the way, too. The first one leaked. So he was in surgery like another hour longer. So we were out waiting in this room. And it does, like you said, you sit in it and you're just like, this is like he's the patriarch of our family right now, because my father's gone and was never really an appropriate dad. He was never the there for me dad. Curry's dad was way more of a dad to me. He taught me how to fix my car, and he taught me how to lay tile, and he taught me how to put in a light fixture, and he taught me how to be humble and how to be meek.
Yeah.
And how to do for people who could never do anything for you. He taught me a lot. So I'm having to, it's like, it's weird.
Sure.
And I'm having to sit in that fear of like, I'm not ready. You know, I'm not ready to lose this person. And so, and then it takes a little longer than you're hoping. And they're saying, well, this is routine, but it's not, nothing's routine when they saw open your chest.
No.
But I mean, it is routine in that he's done 400 of them, this surgeon had. But yeah, you're sitting there and you're having to, and Curry's whole family's together, and you're just, it's a weird thing, man.
Yeah.
And thank God this bleeding stopped, and now he's sitting in a chair, they said. Curry just texted me that he's sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get you up walking right away almost, the minute you can. You know, you went through this with your dad.
My dad, the night of.
Yeah.
In ICU, because they told him the quicker you can sit up and the better. Like, literally that night, he sat in the chair in the ICU all night.
Unbelievable. That's crazy.
Yeah. And he set the record at the hospital. He came home, I think, in 2.5 days.
What?
Yeah. He
Yeah. Curry's dad's that way. He's like, well, they said 5 days, but I'm going to try to get home. And I said, you need to let, because he's the caregiver. That's the hard part when, because everybody falls into roles, you know, and I won't get into everything, but basically, Curry's dad's the rock of the family. So everybody can just go off and do their thing, and David will fix it all.
Right.
So it's like, if he's in jeopardy, we all got to figure out what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
So it throws everything in chaos. So I was like, Dad, we're going to get you a home health care person if we need to, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You need to be taken care of for a while. He was like, well, and he didn't fight me on it, which was cool.
Good.
So I'm hoping that he'll actually like, because I said, if you'll stay down and really rest and recuperate this time, it'll be a shorter, and you'll be back to good. Because evidently he's needed this valve for like 2 years. They just caught it. So he's been fatigued and tired for 2 years.
Well, they do want him to move a lot. I was surprised.
Yeah.
They want you to move a lot. You know, the more you move, within reason. Within what they're telling you to, do.
Well, and all that said, man, I'm still sitting in this moment of like, it could all go bad. I mean, I could have a heart attack while we record this podcast. Like, we're not guaranteed it. And when you have those moments in your life where that non-guarantee it slaps you in the face that we're not promised anything. I mean, there's a 79-year-old guy who's had a great life and he's done so much. So it's not like I'd feel robbed, but I would feel like the breath had been knocked out of me for sure. Yeah. And, cause I mean, I was there the morning of, and he's like got his little bag packed and we're joking around in the waiting room. And then he goes back and you're like, this could be the last time I see this person.
Yeah.
It's heavy. And, I don't know that I like that, but it also, there's an appreciation I have. It's deepened my appreciation for him in a way that nothing like that, nothing except for that could do that, you know?
Yeah. A pastor quoted a scripture about, he said, it's good to go to the house of mourning is what the scripture says.
Man.
Because in the house of mourning, there's moments when, and we, of course, this was Tyler, and he, I think what people need to hear, what really helps me, because again, I'm losing my dad, and you know, I've lost other friends, and, mm-hmm. and there's in those moments, you know, one thing I never want to be, one thing I don't want to encounter and I don't want to be either one is the answer guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so these aren't answers, but something that's brought comfort to me is, acknowledging it's not supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
Like acknowledging, and that's what we talked about at that memorial, like, hey, this is not, this feels wrong because it is.
Yeah.
This feels, that thing we're feeling, you know, is not what God's intention was for us, and he's redeeming it through mm-hmm. Jesus, and so we're in the middle
right.
of the process of redemption. And I know that sounds like, for a lot of people, a cop-out, like, well, if he could, he should do it now. And of course, you know, scripturally, even his delay is for a reason of grace mm-hmm. that more people will hear and more people will know the grace he has for them. And so, but in that, like, it doesn't take away the pain, but for someone to say, hey, man, this sucks, and it's supposed, like, I get it. I feel it with you. I'm not going to spin it and say this is what God wanted and all those things. I do believe God is still in control. I'm not saying that. I do believe that. I do believe that God has also, you know, allowed us a lot of things from our choices, and that mystery between his sovereignty and our choice is not something that we're going to find the end of in this life. But I can say, hey, this sucks. It's not supposed to be this way. And I can feel this with hope. Then I can feel this like, okay, I don't need to sit here and act like this is right. Like this is not right. And so what is right? And I begin to think about what those things are. So,
yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I'm learning it's like mysteries are supposed to be mysterious.
Right.
Yeah. And, we've talked about that before, that we have this age where we just Google the answer to everything. And so we feel like everything should be that way. And the truth is that we don't have answers for everything, and we never will, you know? And, so it's hard. That's a hard thing to deal with. Sometimes you have to sit in and be like, this is mysterious, and it's supposed to be mysterious.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah. Faith is not supposed to be the end of mystery. And that's a misnomer embedded within us, you know?
Well, it's because we grew up that way. We grew up with, where faith equals certainty.
Yeah.
I gave my faith in this thing, and now I can have this certainty. Yeah. And then you hit each other over the head with this ball bat of certainty.
Yeah.
And, man, and we think that's what's going to bring people, and it just doesn't, because eventually they're going to stump you.
Well, yeah, there's always going to be a question. If your faith is wrapped up in answered questions.
Yeah.
It is wrapped up in a few answered questions, you know, but they're not the ones we want.
Yeah. I mean, I think the answered questions for me are like, purpose, like, there's meaning to this.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, if you have grief without meaning, that's the part that feels empty. But if you can, you can go, well, okay, there's a purpose to this, or I'm going through this hard time. It's refining me. Even when it's something simple, Curry, I remember I've told you this before, when Curry lost her job, we'd lived here for a few years and we were struggling, and I was working for the church. Curry lost her job, and her employer lied and said that she quit when they had laid her off to keep her from getting unemployment. And it was at that time, it was like, that was a big deal to us. It was going to be a few hundred dollars a month, but it was like, there was a difference between a lot, us paying our house payment on time. And she even went, like, you have to go to like the whole court system and you testify, and she lied and she won, and she kept us from getting. So now Curry's got no job. We have no unemployment while we look. And I remember that time the most is because it was like this galvanizing time for us, because it was like, we really closed ranks of like, this is what we're going to do. Don't worry about this. Don't cry. We got a plan. And I began just trying to figure out how we were going to survive. And those months while we've tried to figure it out, we're not unhappy. It was like, our purpose was revealed in it in a way, because we were like, well, if we don't have anything, we have each other. And we started thinking about everything we had and who we had on our side and what we had to do to get out of this. And whereas when you have excess or when you have a lot of things, you forget all that immediately.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was a time I was reminded of it, but it's a very hard time. It's not like I would want to go back to it, but I'm glad it happened. I'm really glad it happened.
No, I hear you. I think faith is like that rope when you go rappelling down a mountain, you know, and I've been rappelling both professionally with people who do this for a living and then with some people who they just like to rappel.
Yeah.
And when they wrap that rope around that tree, you're like, well, that rope, yeah, man, this is fine.
Yeah.
But so that's faith, you know, but it's different when I have to lean into it and actually, like, there's something instinctive, if you've never been rappelling, about backing off a mountain, though you know you're secure. Your body says no.
Right.
Like it's a.
You feel it on a cellular level. Like,
right. Like, what are
we
doing?
Don't do this.
Yeah, it's like some. It's survival instinct. It's like, yeah, this is not what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But man, there's something like the fun part is when you lean and before you ever start going down the mountain, when you lean back and you realize without this rope right now, I would be plummeting to my death. Like I'm standing here and I can hold it, and it held. You know, and there's that. I think life doesn't always dangle us over the edge. It just doesn't. But in the moments that it does,
right,
there's that sense of, and let's be careful here. I think with tragedy and stuff, it's different, you know, per se than challenges. There are times, but it will hold you, but it's not like it's a thrilling hold, you know?
No, gosh.
But there are times in life though, when I feel, again, out of control or financially things aren't going where I want them to go or, you know, just disappointed. And being able to lean, that's a real big word for me right now, like lean into something other than myself. And in fact, dude, this guy, we went to Dallas last week to Church Leaders Conference, and a friend of mine named John Elmore, I'm going to have him on the podcast. Like, he's the director of their community and the director of their regeneration program, which is a recovery program. And he was a 12-year alcoholic, just the most humble guy, nice guy, and just like really gifted at communicating the things that he's communicating, but he would never let you tell him that, you know, kind of guy. And, he was talking about when they deal with people who, like himself, you know, people who are truly facing an actual substance addiction.
Yeah.
And which is all kinds of things that they would do. But he said, you know, all they really do is say, listen, would you commit to being sober for the next 24 hours?
Yeah.
Like, would you do that? He's like, 'cause anytime we like say, oh man, I've been, because he said when I was a drunk, he said one time I went a month,
yeah,
because my family begged me to. Like, I could do that, but guess what? I'm back. Like, you don't understand. There's no time that's going to take away this thing. So there's no way I can commit. And the guy's like, no, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you, would you commit from today to tomorrow, 24 hours? Well, yeah, I'll do that. And he uses the illustration of a penny. He's like, you know, this penny, and he had one. He's like, and we give a coin, you know, a lot of the recovery programs give a coin. He was at AA, and they give you a coin, you know, that first day. And he was like, so this penny is like, it's just a penny. And he started just, he kept talking, and he kept putting a penny in, and he pulled out this bucket. It was like the number of pennies in the 12 years that he's been sober now.
Right.
I mean, it's 365 pennies times 12. And the penny means nothing. And he just kind of dropped one. He talked about, like, dude, he said he was in like Norway or somewhere one time. Somehow he found himself in a bar in Norway by himself.
Yeah.
Sitting there, and he had the glass in front of him, and he smelled it. Or was it a wedding, maybe? He had multiple stories. He's like, I remember this one. Like, I remember this one. And I knew, because like he wasn't just an alcoholic. Like, dude, he was going to die. He's talking to him, you will die. Like, he was drinking a fifth of whiskey a night and two bottles of wine. Because he couldn't feel the whisk anymore. Like, he couldn't, you know. He's like, now I remember this one. This one hurt. But I remember that day I committed my sobriety to the Lord. Like, I'm asking you for this one day by your strength. And then he started dumping that bucket as he walked across the stage of pennies, and this visual of this copper, like, flashing in the light. Like, he was like, man, you think it's small, but this one day is this.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like you might have been in alcoholism, other things. For me, it's really self-reliance is a lot of what I struggle with right now. I struggle with proclaiming that it's all up to God, but acting like it's all up to me.
Yeah.
You know, and carrying the weight of that and expecting. And he said for 12 years, he's got on his knees every morning and just said, hey, today, I commit this sobriety to you. Would you give me 24 hours? Like, it's just, he's just asking. He's not asking for tomorrow. He's literally asking for today. Whether it's anger, you know, with his children, or whether it's, you know, and I find myself since then, like this last week, like, you know what, today be the boss. Satan, I use that word. Boss is an easier word for her to understand than Lord, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Well, be the boss today of the way I lean into myself, and I'm just going to lean into you. Like, I'm asking for one. Give me one day. You know, so that, and there's never a moment you go, well, I've got a pattern now. I don't have to ask anymore.
It takes 30 days to make a habit.
And that's right. I got it, and I don't need you anymore. Like, he's like, no, I know who I am. Yeah. I know at any moment. You know, but 12 years, you know, now that's not really a problem even that tempts me anymore, to be honest with you. You know, there's other things, but it's all the same thing. That one day sobriety, if you will, is a great word to use. I want to be sober from that, because I'm not sober when I'm leaning into myself and I'm running around anxious and angry and prideful and insecure. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I may not be physically intoxicated, but I'm not myself. I'm not the person I want to be, for sure. And saying, you know what, this is a daily thing, that I'm going to allow the strength of God to be my strength. I'm going to lean into something different than me, because I recognize that I can't do it anyway.
I had a similar illustration, but my addiction was picking up pennies. And so it really got confusing, because I would take a penny and then leave a penny. It's like the gas station. It's like the little tray.
It's like, I remember this one. I just
picked it up. That's why I remember it. You saw me do it.
I don't normally have a good memory, but today.
How long before we get rid of the penny? That's like a big conversation they used to have, right? Because people don't.
Right. What's the point? Is anyone actually using it? I wonder if he had trouble getting those at the bank.
I don't know. That's true. How did he get pennies for his illustration?
Yeah.
Because copper, well, they're not copper anymore, I don't think. I think it's like they're not made of copper anymore.
Plastic?
Because copper's so valuable.
Yeah.
They're made of plastic, ask? They're not plastic. I think it's like they're lead. Or
would you really know, Johnny?
Zinc.
Would you really know?
I don't know. But
you know,
though,
if it comes back around, though, to metal, so back to silver.
Silver?
So here's the thing.
You'll pick it up and be like, I remember this one. This is my Ippy. You'll cast it down.
Guys, just
of all your mini awards, you'll drop 365 awards a year.
One Ippy at a time, guys. One. I win an award a day on average. So, no, the thing was, you may not know this, but I've never been to New York City.
What?
I know. I've been a lot of places.
Oh, and the award ceremony is there. You told me this.
And I've always kind of hoped, like, because I don't want to just spend the money and go. We always pick something else.
But it's a great, if you're going to spend the money and go. But you think of vacations like a beach thing.
My wife had never been to New York City, and she was in New York this week. She just got home this morning. And so she was there sending pictures. She's like, well, we got to go back. And so I'm always like, it'd be cool to me, because much of the publishing industry is anchored in New York.
Sure.
But the Christian publishing industry then comes through Nashville usually. So I'm always like, you know what? I wonder if someday it'd be cool if something in the writing world or book world took me to New York, and I could take my wife and maybe even my daughter, and we'd go hang out in New York, because I had to be there.
Yeah.
You know, that's a better excuse usually. So guess what? They've invited me to New York for that awards ceremony, and I'm not going to be able to go. I'm going to be on a cruise.
But that's,
which sounds amazing.
Yeah,
like, and I feel like this is such a
man.
Like, if I'm sorry, I can't come enjoy the $1 million because I'm too busy enjoying some other $1 million. Like, you know, we're so blessed that we had those things. But I was kind of like, it'd be cool to be in New York and go. I mean, just to go. I want to go see Hamilton.
Well, you got to get tickets to that like way in advance,
right?
Though. But with the Ippy Award, maybe you're
right. I just walk in with the Ippy, like, hey.
You're holding it, or you're wearing the medal.
Maybe this will make a difference.
And they go, well, it's not even the gold, sir. And you're like, enough!
Wait a second. Silver's valuable.
I said good day, sir!
I was hoping I'd just ask you. You're a big hot shot. Dude, you won bronze.
Let me just tell you this. Here's how big of a hot shot I am. At the show that I do, at the shows I do with Tim, including the one I did in front of 4,200 people, I have to go find a lanyard. Or I will be stopped. Like, if I walk around to my own merch table with my picture up and my banner and then try to get backstage get on stage to do my set in the middle of the show, I will be stopped and they'll say, sir, you can't go this way. And I'll be like,
this one show. That's
no, no, it happens all the time. So I have to go get a lanyard. I'll be like, I'll go to the crew and I'll be like,
why don't you just tell
I need
them,
a lanyard.
You want to be Rich Mullins.
Well, no, because people, that's what anybody would say. I'm on the show. They go, well, no, it's just 10. Because it doesn't say necessarily all the time.
So the people working, the volunteers that they brought.
Right, they have real security people. And they're just like, good one, sir.
Right.
So at more than one show.
Everyone's a funny guy.
A show that I am on, I cannot get backstage. And I have to, like, go find other means to get backstage to go on stage.
Bro, I bet you I could make a sermon illustration out of that right now, but I'm not going to.
Wait, hang on a second.
Isn't that just like our Lord?
God's going to give you a lanyard and welcome you into his vineyard.
Some of y'all are supposed to be on the stage, but you're not wearing your lanyard. And there's an enemy at the door. And the deal is, you don't need to fight him. You don't need to try to convince him. You just need to show him your badge.
Let me say something. The devil is a security guy.
Okay? He wants to keep
He's
going to
tell you every reason you can't come in.
He wants to tell you why you can't get on the stage. He tells you you're not good enough. He tells you you're not funny enough. He tells you you're too big. You're too small.
Wait a minute. I'm not funny enough. I'm too big.
This feels like
it's coming from you, not the devil. This feels like you're taking pot shots.
By the way, I don't preach like that.
Okay, good.
But that was to a metaphorical imaginary audience. That wasn't to you. So I was like, guys, I had a friend the other day. I don't know why we go into that. We know why we go into that. We grew up hearing that. So.
Man, the devil. Show the devil your lanyard,
guys.
Yeah.
Man,
I belong!
All day long. Some of y'all been out there right now.
I'm with the king.
You might not have a silver medal.
Maybe you didn't know.
You might not have a bronze medal. But boy, you got a lanyard. And that's all it takes, Johnny.
One of my favorite characters, he would do a character. He was an actor, but he did this character called Brother Preacher. And he would do these videos, and he would say, you know, the most powerful tool in the preacher's belt is a sermon illustration. There was a great story about a magic goose, and it laid golden eggs, and the boy traded magic. I don't know. It grew a big beanstalk, and he climbed the top, and he killed a giant, and he's loaded. Now he gets all the gold, and that little boy's name was Jesus. And then he goes, I have gotten off my notes. That's my favorite part. Whenever I do something like that, I always go, I have gotten off my notes.
Oh, yeah.
We have.
I do. When you see a guy, mm-hmm. saw a rainstorm hit while I was preaching Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. We got a metal roof.
So, yeah, I got a text from Andrew in the front row. He's like, storm about to hit. And I thought, oh, man. He gave me a heads up. But, I mean, it was so.
He didn't mean spiritual. He didn't mean like,
right,
keep on
like,
it.
Man, come on, man. Your storm's
we're
about
not,
to hit.
We're not that kind of church. Preach through it.
And we had a little flicker, and my microphone went off for a minute, you know, and came right back on. But, you know, they stayed with me. They did. You know, the rain hit.
Almost had some open-air preaching. That would be kind of cool. Then they'd have to lean into you a little bit.
Yeah. But like, guys, we're going to do this like the early church. So I'm going to set up people to relay what I'm saying to the crowd in the back. And it's not that big of a room, Johnny, but we might as well do it. We want to be biblical. So
did you put the women in the back?
We give our children biblical names.
Did you put
Mordecai. I'm not answering what it is you just said. So you're so, Johnny, you're an instigator. You're an instigator.
I am an instigator.
Yeah. And that's not a compliment.
No.
So I don't
know if
you're
good. I'm lucky I was ever given a lanyard, to be honest.
Well, you know what? Maybe someday when you go to New York, I've been many times. Maybe I'll get to tag along.
And it's great. And they told you to go ahead and not come. Don't bother. No, I've been to a few Broadway plays. I saw Phantom in New York City. The Lion King.
I've seen
Wicked in New York City.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm really
not like
now.
The original company though. That would be amazing with Idina Menzel and all them.
Yeah, that's the one. Wicked, we've been
Kristen Chenoweth was the Good Witch, I think, in that one too.
We've seen Wicked quite a few times, but obviously never been in New York. So.
Well, I'll say this. Summertime, be ready for the hot garbage smell.
My wife
said nowhere to put the garbage.
My wife said that it was bad.
Yeah, there's no back door because the back side of these buildings is another business. So, and they always have to just put their garbage on the front stoop and it just sits there and just steeps in the heat.
Yeah. She said that the garbage smell was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But you know, hey man, it's urban America, bro. It makes me go all historical on all the things that happened before we had even all
before
of the systems in place to try to help the refuse.
The funneled the garbage juice into
Now it's aqueducts, at least. You know, it used to just be open flowing, basically. Mm-hmm. So Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, kids. You should go. You have to read that probably in school. We ever read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle?
No.
Basically, like his expose, what was happening in the factories and the mice falling into the sausage. All this.
There's mice in our sausage?
What, back then, at the turn of the century, like Industrial Revolution.
Oh, my gosh, I was scared. I had sausage this morning.
Yeah, John, that's what makes it good.
The book came out last week. It's a crisis.
Well, man, that's fun times. Fun times.
You're going to make it. You'll get another award because you're entered in other things, and you're going to get other. And it's going to be on a day that you can make it, John. I believe in you.
I don't know if I'll. If I win,
maybe you'll win gold.
If I win another award,
if you win gold, does the silver mean less? Be real. Or do you go the silver was first?
I don't know. I think, you know, you never forget your first silver medal.
Like, so, if you have another kid besides Sadie and that kid's like way better, do you still love Sadie?
It's dark. It's dark. I did find out today from my agent, actually.
Right.
And so, hey, if you're a listener and you go through an airport or like a pilot or a Flying J truck stop, so there's a distributor called Choice Books.
Of course, Choice Books, yeah.
And so Choice Books is someone who's slightly interested in endorsement.
Okay, slightly
interested. Can I say this? I don't know if I can say this. I mean, I have to edit this out.
Slightly interested. It doesn't sound like it's that big of an endorsement so far.
Well, it's a...
Endorsement sounds a lot like, by the way.
There's an endorsement for endorsement.
It doesn't sound like they're sold out yet. It's kind of interested. Listen, let me just say that in high school, there were girls that were sort
kind of
interested.
It
did not work out.
Yeah, I had a few of those. but the deal is, apparently they've put it on some now. I don't know. It's being test marketed.
Oh, wow. You might be in a Flying J.
I was just in Dallas Airport and walked past a Choice book rack and almost stopped. I kind of glanced and looked a little bit, but I should have checked it and bought them out because it's a test market. So if you're anywhere out there.
You're willing to spend your own money.
Oh, yeah.
To trick the market into putting you into other...
maybe. But listen, if you're out there, listener, and you're near, you're in an airport, and you see a Choice book rack, or you see it in a pilot or a Flying J, like, I'm begging you, buy one, and then tell somebody. Tell your friends. Okay. Like, get everybody to go. Listen, I want it to be natural and organic, but I want to help, too. You know what I'm saying?
It's as natural and organic as anything else in a Flying J, to be honest with you. Have you seen those donuts? Those aren't.
The meat sticks.
That's not good for you.
Upton Sinclair meat sticks is what they call them. Anyway, well, hey, man, it's funny getting to hang out today. I know you're heading out of town again.
I am going into the belly of the beast. You know, there's a big snowstorm.
Yeah.
And guess where I'm going on Saturday? Minnesota.
Rural
Minnesota. They got 8 inches of snow today.
You might want to leave now.
Yeah, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, geez.
When I emailed them, though, they didn't seem spooked at all. They're just like, it's April.
Just call that a Tuesday. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's 40-mile-an-hour winds, too.
Wow.
So
it's very windy here
today. An old Kia rental car will do fine, I'm sure.
Oh, you'll do great. You'll do great. I wish I was going with you. Actually, this sounds like a nightmare of a trip. So
it's not going to be fun.
Stay here.
My brother's gone, so that'll be, be good. We can bond.
Fun. Yeah. Well, good. Well, I mean, be safe and do well. And, hey, as always, we appreciate you guys listening.
Hey, leave a review.
Yeah.
And leave us 5 stars if you feel like it. 5 stars is a lot to ask.
Right.
But it's 5 out of 10, so.
And go on Amazon.
No, it's not a 10-star system, is it?
Leave Johnny's bronze-winning DVD 5 stars. You can go.
That would be good, too.
You can go watch it.
It's too late for it to win gold, but you could make it, like, the most decorated bronze award winner.
Most decorated ever, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously follow him. You should follow Johnny. He's funny.
Yeah, and I got a bunch of cool things coming up. I'll be coming to your city. Go to my website and find out if I'm coming.
Please come to a show.
He's
coming to a lot of places. You need to see him live. I'm not going to lie, Johnny. You're my favorite live comedian.
That's so nice.
You are. I mean, and it's not just saying that because you're my friend. Like, I think things are funny because of the way that you are.
So you're saying in our relationship, I already have a lanyard?
Dude, you already have it, bro.
That sounds really lame.
There's no...
That's like some psychobabble.
I wouldn't stop you at the door.
Did I tell you my idea for new merch at my show? I want to have a stuffed animal that's just a caricature of me. Like, I want a me version stuffed animal.
Wow.
Do you think people would buy it?
Yes.
Do you know what I want to call it?
What?
A Johnny Snuggle You.
That's great.
So look for that.
Oh, that's great.
It's going to plummet worse than Beanie Babies that you kept in your attic thinking they were going to be worth something one day.
Gosh.
It's a Johnny Snuggle You, this one creepy comedian.
If you see them in a pilot,
yeah, if
we
you
don't
ever see
how they got there.
What if I got a Flying J deal before you for the Johnny Snuggle You? You'd be so furious.
I'd be... Well, it makes sense. You got your, you got the bronze before me.
Choice Beanies is looking at me. They're pretty excited. They've made me an offer to go away. It's a cease and desist offer.
Sir, we're going to need you to stop calling.
Stand down.
Yeah. So right. Anyway, I share it and leave us a review and talk to your friends about it. And we'll all... Hey, Johnny, we're going to be consistently back here every week because we care about you guys and we enjoy doing this. So
yes.
We will see you next time on
Talk About That.
There's no better way to start your day than spending time in God's Word and in prayer. Don't know where to start? We have a free daily prayer podcast created to help you do just that. The Your Daily Prayer podcast delivers a thoughtful devotional and timely prayer to you 7 days a week. Gain inspiration, faith, and encouragement with daily messages in 10 minutes or less. To start listening now, search Your Daily Prayer on your favorite podcast app or visit lifeaudio.com.